I sing that song because, you know, a lot of times people say it's not religious. Well, you don't know what's going on inside somebody.
Yeah.
You don't know what they've been praying and how they've been praying.
Whoa.
And when I sing it, I know I'm where I'm going. Amen. Yeah, change gonna come. All you got to do is trust him. Amen. We've been talking about something for the last couple of weeks on the winning way. The winning way. What does it take to win in life? Let me ask a question. How many of you all have lost in life? Lost money, lost friends, lost relationships. Almost lost your life. But you're still here.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's not that you run into things, it's things run into you. Can put you in jeopardy. Cause you to feel a sense of loss. But I believe that if you're a follower of Christ, that you will have the faith to keep going. You will believe that it's in God's hands and he's going to take care of it. All you've got to do is trust in him. I want to bring you a passage today where it talks about an unusual investment. An unusual investment. You know, you invest in things in life. It's not always monetarily, but in things that you invest in life. Some of you all invest in a home, right? Some of you all invest in people. If you got children, you put a whole lot in these children. Yeah. Some of y'all looking at them like, yeah, you cost me a whole lot of money.
Facts.
But Jesus was talking about something in Mark chapter 8 that I think we need to pay attention to. Something that we really need to take seriously. He says in Mark 8 verse 36, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their own soul? Second question he asks is, or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? I just want to talk a little bit about life's greatest investment. Is that all right? Larry, will that work? Life's greatest investment. You may be seated. Father, we again thank you for your love and grace today. We thank you for bringing us here. Thank you that this is Communion Sunday, and as we prepare our hearts, we ask that you would help us to discern who Christ is and, Lord, what you're doing in our lives right now. We understand that we're walking by faith. It's not by sight. We can't see it with our eyes, touch it with our hands, feel it, or hear it, but we know that you are real. We ask that you would speak to our hearts today and help us to know the truth, that the truth would make us free. We love you and we praise you. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it all. Amen and amen. Life's greatest investment. There's a stock exchange that you probably are not aware of. You may have heard of the New York Stock Exchange. You may have heard of the British Stock Exchange and the Nikkei Stock Exchange. You may have heard of all of those, but I want to talk about the exchange of heaven. Jesus asked this question because there are people making investments in life. They're going here and there. They're gathering things into their lives, and they're not certain if they really have any value at all. They just don't know. They think they would, and the whole purpose is to buy at this level, sell at a higher level, and make a profit. That's an investment. That's what you do. That's why people on the New York Stock Exchange, when they ring the bell, they start trading. Used to be they would yell out, I'm selling this. Then another, I'm buying that. Then when the bell rang, all trading stopped. Well, on Heaven Stock Exchange, let me tell you how it works. The bell rings when you're born. And you begin trading. You begin giving up this and getting that. Going after that, leaving that alone, hopefully you will buy this level, sell at that level, and get a profit. That's the intent. But it doesn't always work that way. Some of you raise your hand. I asked that when you lose in life, you raise your hand. Most of you said, yeah, I've had some losses, which meant you bought at this level and you sold at this level and you didn't make a profit. How many of you are there? I'll admit it. But now that I know better, I believe I can do better. Yes. Brother Bolden, I believe that I now have a little bit more insight. I'm not the fool I used to be. Yes, sir. Yeah. So now I'm trying to make wiser investments. Here is Jesus presenting something to us, asking us the question, are you sure that what you got is truly valuable? If you got something that's valuable, hold on to it. But please know this, you got something more valuable than everything else. Now, granted, I'm an old person, so I watch shows like the Antique Roadshow on public television. How y'all like that? I watched the Antique Roadshow, and people will bring stuff out. They'll come out. Some of them have pieces of art. They will have vases. And if they think it's worth something, they'll call it a vase. They call it a vase. It's not a vase anymore. Vase, just a little common thing you got. A vase is worth something. They'd bring it out, and then the appraiser will go in. He'll look at it, and he said, yeah, where'd you get it? I got it at a yard sale. Let me tell you, this thing dates back to such and such date, and here's an inscription on the bottom of it, and the people are sitting there, really? Yeah, you got something worth $2,500. And see, when it bought it for $5, it was a vase. But when it sold for $2,500, it's a vase. Yeah, that's what we got. I'm praying we got some vases at our house. But what is life's greatest investment? Jesus gave us two questions that every individual, every person in this room, everyone online, and as far as we can go, you need to ask this question. What is the soul worth? What is the soul worth? Well, Jesus, how do you value it? Here's how he put it. Here's how he put it. What shall it profit a man if he gain the entire world? Imagine that. There were people that wanted it. Napoleon Bonaparte, he wanted the world. Alexander the Great, he wanted the world. Adolf Hitler, he wanted the world. But Jesus asked the question, what would it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What was Jesus exactly saying? He was saying all these things combined, all the treasures in the world and under the earth that man has yet to discover, it cannot come up to the value of your soul. Those things are like change. Doesn't mean a whole lot when you got one soul. I'm going to tell you in a few minutes why that soul is valuable. But Jesus said, you better know how much your soul is worth. No appraiser on this earth can determine the value of your one soul. No one. I can't tell you what it's worth. Here's the whole point. You don't want to throw it away. You don't want to sell it. You don't want to give it away on things that will not matter to you because you need your soul. Hold on to that thought for just a minute. Jesus asked the second question. What can you give in exchange for your soul? Now, why in the world would he ask that question if your soul was valuable and you still got it? Why would he ask the question, what can you give in exchange? Because of the fact that people are exchanging their souls every day. Person over here says, I'll buy it. People say, all right, I'll give it to you for such a price. I'm going to give you three reasons in a minute of how people sell their soul. Some of us, we come almost to the edge, almost sold our soul. And Jesus asked the question, what are you going to give in exchange for the soul? You only got one. Don't believe this cat of nine lives story. You only got one soul. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Now, what does this have to do with winning? It has everything to do with winning. If you get everything in the world and you lose your one soul, nothing has any value anymore. That one soul, by definition, was given by the breath of God. The Bible says when Adam was made, God breathed into him and Adam became a living soul, or the Hebrew uses the word ruach. The breath of God now becomes our breath. When you come into the world, we don't get ours directly from God, but it's because you had parents who had the breath of God, and they had parents who had the breath of God. It got passed down to you. When you come into the world, the one thing the doctors want to do is to get you to take that first breath, that ruach. Now you're born. Now the little baby is crying. I wonder why that doctor slapped me. But now I see. I came to life because I have a soul. And I've got to be very, very cautious as to how I live this life, because I could lose the soul. How do I know that? Jesus said you could jeopardize, you could lose your soul. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and do what? Lose his soul. In other words, what I do could be a threat or a risk to me. That's why folks go out and buy insurance. They got a car, all right? And I got what's known as auto insurance. Got a house. I have what's known as homeowner's insurance. Then my wife said, what if you pass? I said, what if I pass? She said, we need some life insurance. I wonder why they called it life insurance if it depends on somebody deceasing. Grim giving, that don't make a whole lot of sense. But anyway, I'll go along with the title. I called it whatever. So I got insurance. But do I have soul insurance? That's a good question. Well, let's go on a little bit further. Let's see what Jesus talks about. He talks about forfeiting. Forfeiting, giving up. Mankind cannot kill your soul. According to Mark 10:38, only God can kill your soul. Only God can destroy your soul. That soul is something that is eternal. Your body goes back to the dust, but your soul, where does that go? Well, prayerfully, it'll go up to God. But you got to make some arrangements. You got to make some kind of preparation, because it's not an automatic transaction. You give up the body, and the next thing you know, you're in heaven. A lot of folks thought that. Rich man, when he passed, he thought he had it made. Man, I got it made. Got it made all my life. Never had to worry about anything. At the end of his life, he lifted up his eyes in a place called Sheol. Torment. Man, that's a rough place. I don't want my soul to go there. I want my soul to go to a good place where I can be happy, right? Jesus said you can forfeit your soul. Tell you the story of this rich man who had some barns, because it can happen to any of us. Anytime you start storing up things, we got this problem. Some of y'all got the same problem. You got a house and it's got, you know, so many bedrooms, so many closets. Y'all know where I'm going, right? Y'all know where I'm going. Okay, and so what you do is the things that you're not using all the time, you put them into a closet. The only problem is closet is not really big, and it's not supposed to store everything, but a lot of us, we put in as much of it as we can, and we try to cram it in there, make it fit, and then we close the door. That's where a lot of folks are. And then you have to say to yourself, man, we got to rent us a storage unit to pack the rest of our stuff. We're big pack rats. This rich man, he went out one day and viewed his fields, according to Luke 12, viewed his fields, and they were bringing in a bumper crop. He got back and got word. Most people would be happy, you know. If we had a bumper crop, if we had a lot of things, we'd be so happy. We celebrate and we spend it all the same day, right? He said, no, I got to do something with this. So he took those things, he thought about it. He said, I'm going to build me some more barns. Got engaged in construction project, built in the barns and put all of his stuff in there. And he said something very, very dangerous. He said, so, talking about this thing that Jesus just talked about, he said, so take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry, for you have many goods stored up for many days. That's what he said to himself. Listen to what God said to him. God said, you fool. You fool. This very night, your soul will be demanded from you. Then who will get all those things that you stored up? So having a whole lot, being able to put it in storage, it does not mean that you got the protection for your soul. That's the whole point. It doesn't mean you got it made. You got to look for soul insurance. I like that. Soul insurance. I did a lot of research on this sermon. I looked up the term soul survivor, and they came up with a whole bunch of terms, and they talked about this and they talked about that, but they never did get to the point of where you fully put your trust in God Almighty. Know that He's the one that can take care of your soul. Well, getting ready to exchange some stock here. So y'all get ready. Get ready to exchange some stock here. You know, some of y'all got these apps on your phone. You can pull up your stock, and they usually go by three letters. You pull it up, and it says CVS. Or they got one for Moderna. People took out stock when the plague, now I call it, the coronavirus, when that was going on. And people say, I'm going to take me out some stock and CVS, I'm going to take me out some stock in Moderna and Pfizer. I'm going to put me some money in that. They never thought about it. What if I catch corona and die? What's going to happen? Why do people exchange their soul? Three reasons. Throughout the gospel, we find out that people exchange their soul through materialism. In other words, the more I get, the happier I'm going to be. If I can just get all this stuff, remember the closets, remember that, and go back to your house now. Some of y'all got to go back and do some cleanup. But Jesus asked the important question, what will it profit you if you got everything? If you were able to take the entire world and put it in your closet, what would it profit you if you gain all of that and lose your own soul? And the answer is, wouldn't profit us a thing. Materialism is stealing the hearts of people. It's causing people to desire more, and yet they still don't have enough because they don't have what really, really satisfies. Let me give you the second reason, the second exchange system that people will engage in, and that's popularity. I'll just get everybody to like me. Young folks, y'all listen up. I'll give you some good advice. Old 70-year-old man gonna give you some good advice. Young folks, y'all listening? All right, when I say young people, I ain't talking about some of y'all in your 50s, no. If you don't know by now, I doubt if you're going to really learn. I'm talking about those that are below the age of 18, maybe 25, you're in that age group. Let me just give you one little secret that you may not be aware of. Everybody is not going to like you. No matter what you do, they are not going to like you. Quit wasting your time trying to get folks to like you who are not going to like you anyway. All right? Trying this popularity route. When I was in school, I used to sing on the bus. I'd sing to Jesse. I'd sing to anybody who would listen. I'd sing Stevie Wonder. I'd sing Sam Cooke. Just singing, singing, singing. Come to find out, everybody still don't like me. Told me, shut up. Imagine that. The prodigal went this route. Luke 15. The prodigal went that route. He went off with his inheritance from his dad, from his family. And the Bible said he spent it on riotous living. But one thing he tried to do, he tried to buy his friends. And guess what? As soon as the money ran out, one day, he said, all right, everybody, drinks on me. All right, everybody. Then he patted his pockets and didn't have two nickels to rub together to make a dime. That's how bad it was. The Bible says a great famine came upon the land. And this boy who was rich one day found himself feeding hogs the next day. Amen. Longing for the fact that he could go back to his father's house. His father had many servants that were eating better than he was. He's trying to feed hogs to survive. I've been in some rough places in life. I've had some ups and downs. I had some times where, you running low on gas and what you want to do is make the gas go further. And that's when I had manual transmission. You get to the top of the hill and you turn the engine off and let it drift. Some of y'all laughing. I won't laugh. And I was praying I had enough to get the payday. Come on now. I'm for real. By the way, you can't do that with an automatic transmission. You'll burn it up. So don't try that trick, amen? Don't work. But my point is, the prodigal woke up one day, no friends, no money, and almost losing his what? His soul. The Bible said he came to himself. What does it mean to come to yourself? It means to fully realize the position that you're in and wake up. This might be a wake-up call to somebody because you're saying to yourself, hey, I got it made, I got plenty of money, got plenty of friends. Don't bank your soul on friends and money and possessions. Don't do that. Because Jesus said it won't add up to the value of the one soul that you have. You only got one soul. You better make sure that it's secure. Well, there's one more exchange, not only materialism and popularity, but the last one is authority. People say, well, I'm going to be the boss. I'm going to be the captain of my own ship. Man, I'm going to tell other folk what to do instead of other people telling me what to do. Okay. By the way, I've been CEO a couple of times, and that trick still don't work. Because you're going to have everybody telling you what to do. Amen. It's rough situations when you got all the responsibility now on your shoulders. One job I was in, I said, well, I'm the CEO. I'll get to work, a certain hour, which y'all know me. I'm usually running 10 minutes late, just about everything, right? Don't be talking about your pastor. And what I found out that the employees would get to the office 5 minutes before I do. So much for being CEO. The wisest man in the world wrote a comment, and I think you need to understand what he wrote. He had power. He said, I was richer I had more authority than anyone else in Jerusalem before me. I had servants. I was able to do all of these amazing things. I accomplished great projects. And I was at a position where anything I saw that I wanted, I would get it. Boy, that's authority, isn't it? Man, that guy's got, he's got it all made. Well, but listen to what he says in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 9 through 11. He said, I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I denied myself nothing that my eyes desired. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had labored for and what I had toiled to achieve, everything, are you listening? Everything was meaningless. Calls it vanity in the King James. Empty. A chasing after the wind. And then he has the comment in the NIV, nothing was gained. Remember, if we're going to invest, you buy low and you sell high. Right? In his case, he bought it, he had it, and it still meant nothing. Why are people unhappy in this world today? Those three main reasons. Materialism, popularity, and authority. Everybody wanting to rule. Steve Martin, not Steve Martin, I guess the singer, what's his name? Dean Martin, all right? He had a song many years ago, and I know y'all young folk, y'all don't know what the song is. You probably wondering, who in the world is Dean Martin? Google it. But he wrote a song, Too Many Chiefs and Not Enough Indians Around This House. Too many bosses and not enough workers in this place. That's what he said. You got a whole lot of folk that want to be the chief. That's why I love some meetings at the church, you know. Yeah. I love meetings at the church because sooner or later somebody say, I'm the chief. Okay, how are we going to get stuff done if everybody going to be the chief? Got to be somebody who's willing to do the work. Solomon said, I came up empty. I had it all, but I came up empty. So how do you do with this thing about your soul? I'm so glad y'all came out this morning to listen to me run my mouth, all right? But I've been studying, and I believe this is one of the most serious matters that you're ever going to here in your life, because you only have one soul. And if you don't know what to do with it, if you don't know how to preserve that soul, you're going to lose everything. But you don't have to lose everything. That's the good news. Don't y'all love good news? That's why I read the comic strips. I don't even read the headlines of the newspaper. I read the comic strips because I want to get some good news. I'm tired of old bad news. All the time. This one did that and that one did this. I want to hear some good news. How many of y'all love good news? 5 minutes, I'm going to give you a little bit of good news. Number one, if you're looking for security of your soul, know that God owns your soul. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, he said, God said, I'm the one who owned the soul. Why? Because you got his breath. That's the breath of God. And he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. But the one who obeys God, it shall live. God owns your soul. Either you admit it or you struggle through life trying to get the proper ownership and the coverage that you need. But if you can go back to God and say, hey, Lord, you gave me the soul. Help me with it. How's God going to do that? He does it by faith. By faith. You can't see God. You can't, amen, reach out and do that. Now, I talk to him because I believe that he hears us. But even if I spoke in my heart, he would still hear me because he's God Almighty. As a matter of fact, Jesus knows your thoughts are far off. He knows what you're thinking. God owns your soul. That's the first step to getting soul security. But the second step is that God has invested in your soul. God gave something for you. You don't own it yourself. He owns it. But then, here's the point. Because we threw it away, God had to buy it back. He gave you that life that you have. We throw it away on partying, on good times, on all of these things. Next thing you know, our life is ruined. Oh, God, help me save my life. And what God does, because of his great love for you, he so loved the world. Well, what did he give? Money? No, wouldn't do it. Did he give the world? No. God gave his very best. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He could have chosen the highest ranking angels in heaven and given them for you, and you never would have known anything differently. But God wanted to show us the extent of his love, and he gave his only begotten son. Well, what's my part? That if you believe in him, well, I can't see him. You don't have to see him. You have to believe him. I can't touch him. You don't have to touch him. You just have to believe him. When you believe, something comes alive on the inside of you. Hebrews 11 says that, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone who comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Every time you pray, you're seeking him. Every time you open that Bible and you say, God, show me something, you're seeking him. Every time you reach out and help someone in need, you're seeking God because you're wanting God to guide you in your life. You need soul security. And God said, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you heaven's best. And all we have to do is open our heart and receive it. Greatest investment you'll ever make in lifetime. I've got, like I say, insurance, because if I have a loss, David, my insurance will cover me. But there are two things that bother me about my insurance. One is something called the deductible. If you don't know what a deductible is, you better find out. And really, that's a nice way of putting in words, Brother Brown, we ain't going to pay you for the first part of what this thing is costing you. That's what they're saying. They're not going to pay me until I put up something. Well, wait a minute. I've been paying this thing called a premium all this time, and you ain't going to pay me for the first amount of my loss? Yep, we ain't going to pay you. That's rough. Mel, that's rough. But guess what? What you going to do about it? Second thing that bothers me about the insurance policies that I have is it has this thing called a ceiling or a maximum amount of coverage. Some will insure you up to a certain amount. And then I had the nerve to ask my agent, well, what happens if the loss is greater than amount? He looked dead at me. He said, you gonna pay. And I said, I'm in trouble. But guess what? When you got God to insure you, when you got God backing you up, there is no deductible. Why? Jesus paid it all. Can I tell you? He paid it all, and all to him I owe. I don't have to pay anything except trust him, believe in him, honor him, and worship him. Look at somebody, tell him your soul is secure.
Soul is secure.
Your soul is secure.
Your soul is secure.
Because the Lord, I'm getting happy up here. I'm just getting happy because of the fact that I know that my life is covered. Then the last thing. What about it, preacher? What about the fact that we're marching from here to glory? We're marching from this earth to a place called heaven. What about it, preacher? He sent somebody to guide me and to be with me, called the Holy Spirit. Some of us, we're thinking that we're all by ourselves. We look up to God sometimes. Lord, why'd you leave me all by myself? He didn't leave you all by yourself. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And then in John 16 and verse 13, he said, I'm going to send you a guide. Why do I need a guide? Because you don't know your way. I remember I was on this trip one time, and we were going in sightseeing. They said, now, you can do the sightseeing on your own, but you got to keep up with the signs. Otherwise, you might wind up in a place you don't want to be. So I decided I'd take the guided tour, because the guide always knows where they're going. Some of you in your life, you're not depending on God as your guide. You're telling yourself, I got it. Famous. famous last words, I got it. When you could give control of your life over to God and let God have it. Yeah. When you do that, you know that you made the investment of your life. God never promised us we weren't going to have it easy all the time. He never promised us that things wouldn't get rough sometime. But when it gets rough, because you've got God to lead you, you know that He knows the way. Amen? Amen. He leadeth me, oh blessed thought. 'Tis God's hand that leads me. So I'm going to ask you a question before I go to my seat. Have you made that investment? We have an agent that we work with, and we go to him. A lot of times when we're thinking about something, get a little extra money, you know. Now they got this thing called money markets, you know. That means you ain't got to put in a whole bunch. You got a whole bunch of other people like you who only have a small amount that they can invest. And so what they want to do is pull it all together. Isn't that neat? That's what I call poor folk investment. But if you're the type of person, you're spending every dime that you get. Think about it. One of these days, you can get to the place you don't want to work no more. All right? Young people, y'all not there yet. You got a lot. In other words, you got to work to pay high Social Security so we don't have to work. How's that? All right. Hey, anyway, where was I? The point is,
got paid.
Make sure that you talk to God about that investment of your soul, that you're fully committed to Him. If you do that, you will have everything you need between here and glory. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you that we're able to make this investment in you and in your grace, knowing that your grace is sufficient to meet every need of our life. I honor you and I praise you. Some say you saw something in us, but I say the only thing that you saw was mercy, and mercy was good enough because it certainly blessed my soul. I pray, Father, that you lead us now and guide us. There's one online or someone listening, God, that you would touch their heart. Bring them to you that they might put their full trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask we all stand. The doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come.